the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to the final hour of the show today, the final hour of the week, Sports Talk, 99.1 D Sports Animal. We got a lot coming your way this segment. We got the Sports Fix at 6. We're going to hear from Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello, Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper as they take on Vanderbilt on Sunday, and then we'll hear from Tennessee baseball player Landon Gray. We'll try to get that in for you, as well as the Tennessee basketball practice report. But for the Sports Fix at 6, we're giving away two tickets to the Def Leppard and ZZ Top 2020 Vision Tour coming to Thompson Bowling Arena September the 25th. So two tickets for that are available if you can answer this trivia question. Tennessee is 10-7 all time against former Tennessee head coaches. In other words, Tennessee head coaches that went on to other schools. Name the two former Tennessee coaches the Vols have defeated the most. Tennessee's 10-7 against former men's basketball head coaches. Name the two coaches Tennessee has defeated the most. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Fred. Fred, you're on the Sports Fix. Hey, Fred. Fred, are you with us? Sounds like you might be, but I'm not hearing anything.
Lord of mercy. I mean, I was your guy answered the phone right when he was asking the question. Ask me again.
Okay. Tennessee's 10-7 against its former head basketball coaches on the men's side. All right. Which two of those former coaches has Tennessee defeated the most?
Well, it's not Bruce Pearl. I would say it was the guy y'all were talking about a while ago, the guy that went to Vanderbilt. What's his name? Stallings.
Okay. We said two. Now, you only mentioned one.
Oh my. It can't be Pearl. Golly. Okay, give me a second. I'm thinking.
Fred, we got to get an answer.
Okay. It's Kenzo Martin.
Okay, you're half right. Your second guess was correct. Okay, Kevin Stallings was never a coach at Tennessee, so that ruled him out. But you got one out of two. Okay, let's go to Jerry. Jerry, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey guys, how are you?
Fine, Jerry.
I'm not sure if someone's already wrongly guessed, but I'm going to go with Bruce Pearl and Kenzo Martin.
Yes, you are correct. It was interesting that Fred said it couldn't be Bruce Pearl. Actually, it was. So Tennessee has defeated Pearl four times. They're 4-4 against Pearl. They're 4-1 against Kenzo Martin. 0-2 against Kevin O'Neill. 2-0 against Don DeVoe. But that's the record when facing a team that was against a former Tennessee head coach in men's basketball. So, Jerry, you are correct. Pearl and Martin, that's the answer. You have won two tickets to see the upcoming concert with Def Leppard, ZZ Top. So we're going to put you on hold and get those tickets to you, okay?
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, good job. And that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Let's get now a Tennessee men's basketball practice report from Eric Kane.
Eric Kane with a Tennessee basketball practice report. Tennessee and Auburn tip off tomorrow on the Plains, noon Eastern, right here on The Sports Animal. The Ball Network radio coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Joel Silverberg and I will be previewing the game on Saturday Sports Talk 8 to 10 tomorrow morning. Auburn is looking to get back on the winning side of things. Losers of two straight and dropped a Saturday contest to Missouri. And, of course, that midweek bout against Georgia. The Tigers could still be without freshman big man Isaac Okoro, who averages 13 points a game, and again has missed those last two ball games, both losses for Auburn. This is kind of a new look Auburn club. Last year during the tail end of the regular season on through the SEC tournament, Tennessee fans know for sure this was a team that lived and died on the three-pointers and hit a lot of them. And that carried Auburn eventually on to a Final Four appearance. But the Tigers this year only 12th in the SEC in terms of three-point field goal percentage, sitting at just 30%. So a little different game. Rick Barnes said yesterday when meeting with the media that this is an inside-out team and likes to go through the hands of center Austin Wiley, who third in the conference in rebounds and fifth in blocks per game. But again, a new-look Auburn club this year, but still a lot of ammunition both on the perimeter and in the inside.
Well, they still have good players. I mean, there's no doubt they still do. And, I mean, they're different than they were a year ago, where they're not making normally as many threes as they made, where they're relying more on an inside game and mid-range game. And, you know, they're capable, like any team, of having big shooting nights. But they've more of a, you know, inside-out team than they were a year ago. And they're a tough team to defend.
The Tigers sit third in the SEC in points per game with 79, shoot 43% from the field, are undefeated at home, but again, have lost back-to-back contests, both on the road to Georgia and Missouri. Samir Dowdy leads the squad 16 points per game, and Javon McCormick adds 12 as well. Tennessee and Auburn tomorrow, noon Eastern. Vault Network takes over our airwaves at 11:30. All that right here, pregame, postgame, and the actual game with Bob Kessling and Burt Bertelkamp with Bobby Rader in studio. All that can be heard right here on the Sports Animal. Today's UT basketball practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now from design to construction to maintenance. One call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
Thanks, Eric. Tennessee has released its new assistant coaches. Took them a little while. But, Vince, it is kind of interesting with Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee announcing the two coaches that have been added to the staff with Jimmy Brumbaugh and Shelton Felton.
Yeah, Brumbaugh is listed as a co-defensive coordinator and defensive line coach. That title was co-defensive coordinator was what Chris Rump had, along with the outside linebackers coach position. And that now goes to Shelton Felton, who is listed just as the outside linebackers coach. So interesting that Brumbaugh gets that secondary title in addition to D-line coach. Both of those guys are fairly young. Jeremy Pruitt said, I'm excited to announce that we have added Jimmy Brumbaugh and Shelton Felton to our coaching staff. They're both tireless workers and will bring a lot of positives to our staff in terms of coaching and recruiting. They are family men who will be outstanding role models and mentors for our student athletes.
And with the co-defensive coordinator spot for Brumbaugh, I wonder if that allows Tennessee to pay him a little bit more to lure him away from Colorado?
Probably so. I mean, I think it was Derek Gansley's show last year, even though Chris Rump had the title, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Rump was calling any defensive signals during the game. So, okay. That officially coming from the University of Tennessee. When we come back, Tony Vitello, John Wilkerson has the interview with him. As Tennessee is playing in Round Rock, it's a three-day event for the Vols. They take on the top-ranked Texas Tech team tonight. But when we come back, we'll hear from Tony Vitello. You're listening to Sports Talk, FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Tennessee baseball team will be in the Round Rock Classic. They take on number one ranked Texas Tech, at least number one in one poll. That's tonight at 8, Saturday, Houston at 3. Sunday, it will be Stanford at noon. John Wilkerson had a chance to catch up with Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello.
If you look at what is now Tennessee's last three baseball weekends, you have the regional in Chapel Hill, you have the season opening weekend for 2020, and now you take on a stacked field here as part of the inaugural Round Rock Classic. What do you think it means for those players that went through both the end of last year and the start of this year that they have this kind of test and or challenge in front of them?
It means a lot. You know, you mentioned three pretty big weekends there, and, you know, coach speak is the biggest weekend is the next one. Well, we're at the next one, but this one's unique because you mentioned the regional Chapel Hill. This is set up to mirror a regional. Four really high-quality teams. I mean, four teams, in my opinion, that our regional type teams this year, and even maybe a couple Omaha contenders in there. And everyone's got to play each other, and you know you're doing it at a big time park, and there'll be some media attention involved. So it's great to basically get a preview of what the postseason is like while playing against SEC level competition.
You mentioned that you tried to kind of mirror what is the road trip experience for the newcomers when you practiced and had that second scrimmage in Nashville during the fall. But what is it like to have this group of players officially on the road at a point in time where they're dealing with classwork and games that count?
Yeah, we talked about it at the front of the bus. I think this is completely different than the fall. As much as we want that to be kind of a trial run, and I do think it had some value, this is different. I mean, you got to earn your way on the travel roster. We flew the charter flight experience is phenomenal. Had one guy with his first flight ever on there. Ethan Anderson survived. The feel you get is this is a chance for our guys to come together and get to know each other a little bit better and really truly challenge ourselves away from our home field against the best competition. So however this weekend goes, I think we're going to really add to our personality and grow a little bit from this experience.
And it starts right out of the chute with a team that moved up to number one in the rankings in two polls. What do this year's Texas Tech Red Raiders look like?
Yeah, I didn't know that until today, so I'm usually a little blind to that stuff. But maybe that adds a little extra flavor to the thing. But the bottom line is they're one of the top five programs, I feel, in the country over the last 7-8 years. And you can almost kind of say they've taken a stronghold on the state of Texas, which is a baseball powerhouse. That's very difficult to do. So the program reflects those two things I just said. But individually, this group is an incredible position player group. I know a lot of these guys from recruiting when I was at Arkansas. We slid over to Texas a lot. And there's a great mix of some power, a lot of left-handed hitting, some versatile guys, and really they kind of reflect the plan we're trying to put into place here, but, you know, it's an experienced lineup and very talented. So those are high hopes to be compared to what they have one day, if not this group this year. And then on the mound, last year's closer, he pitched him to Omaha. And then, you know, we'll probably see a guy who, out of the bullpen, if we're able to do so, see a guy who's supposed to be their Friday starter. So we're going to get their best two bullets with two really power arms. And, you know, I recruited and signed the guy they'll use tomorrow on Saturday. So I'm glad, you know, I don't have to deal with that. It's never fun when you got the recruiting implications showing up on the field. So it'll be nice to see some familiar faces. But once the game starts, it's going to be an incredible challenge for our guys.
Chad Dallas gets the ball to go in to this first game. What are you looking for him in his second outing for Tennessee?
You know, to maybe grow a little bit is the word we talked about for our team. I think from week to week, those pitchers need to grow from the experience they get, especially being a first-year Division I guy. Now, I pitched in junior college last year, but really thrown into a start where you couldn't expect him to be his best, and yet he was really good last weekend. So this weekend, you know, taking a step forward, maybe the preparation's a little better. Maybe he's better at executing. Maybe he can go a little longer. But just to make progress, I mean, that's our theme, is to get a little better each day. But for a starting pitcher, you know, you'd like to get a little better with each start. And we don't even know what his final role will be for us. But, you know, in the back of his mind, if you're a true competitor, the one thing you're hoping to do is, all right, they're doing this a second week for me. I want to lock this thing down. It's kind of the most appealing role for a college pitcher to have.
He and Sean Hundley did such an outstanding job in what was a tight game to open the season. Is there a different bullpen plan at all for this weekend compared to last?
Yeah, I don't mean to speak for Coach Tadlock with Texas Tech, but last week they did the same thing we did. It was Beater and then their starter, and then Dallas, who I mentioned was their projected Friday starter before the year. Two really talented arms, and we did the same with Dallas and Hundley. And so this time of year when pitch counts aren't built up enough for a guy to log 8 or 9 innings, if he has a good start, that's kind of what you look to do, is split up the game a little bit. And we'll do the same with Hundley. We'll also obviously have Redmond available. A couple of those freshmen we feel better about, that they got their first outing out of the way. And then, too, Jackson Leith is available. He was available last Friday, too. We just, you know, were able to hold on enough against Western Illinois that we pushed him back to Sunday. And For now, it's win this game, worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here, and it'll be all hands on deck other than, you know, Chase will be preparing for tomorrow.
What are your expectations and or what would you like to see your team accomplish with this incredible challenge, which gives you an SEC NCAA flavor before you get to conference play?
First instinct is to not back down. And we always tell our guys to not say not. So if I could flip that, it would be to attack, you know, attack the opportunity they have here this weekend, the competition. The weather is not typical Texas weather. It's cold, so attack it, you know. Compete with all things is what we want these kids to do. Some of them even already did it academically today. So whatever the challenge is you got in front of you, attack it. And then if you get beat, make sure you throw your best haymaker in whatever situation it is. And if this group throws a lot of haymakers with conviction, we're going to win our fair share of games. And I think we'll be happy with how tonight goes if we do that.
You have Chase Wallace starting tomorrow, and then you've left Sunday open at this point in time, as you've referenced already. But what was it like to see Chase make so much of his first start for the University of Tennessee?
It was affirmation would be the word I would use for the coaching staff, because Chase has had almost kind of a storybook in a way that you could write a book and it'd be entertaining. And I don't mean like fairy tale, because it hasn't been an ideal road for him. But sometimes the best guys, you know, Tom Brady, good-looking dude. He's living a pretty good life, but, you know, he kind of had to sort through some things at Michigan, and he was a backup. And so I don't know if that's the best analogy, but sometimes those best, you know, guys or best stories you look back on weren't that smooth at the beginning. And due to some injuries and some youth and also having a really good staff last year, Chase had been squeezed out a little more than he would like, and even looking back on it, than I would like, could have done a better job there. But now he's stepped to the forefront, and he's leaving no doubts, and there's really no option for the coaching staff. You got to start him on the weekend. It's just a matter of what day. So that's what we saw last weekend, and same thing. I think with each start, maybe he lasted a little longer. We pushed him, and at the end, he wasn't quite as sharp as he was at the beginning, but that's the nature of building up. I think Max Scherzer had some good quotes on that the other day. So that's what we're trying to do with our guys is build them up, but we don't want to go out there and give anything to the opponent. We want to compete and hopefully get a win out of it too.
Offense is off to a great start this year. Obviously, it's a step up in level of competition, the arms that you'll be facing. What is the game plan and the approach at the plate? Is it right there in line with your thinking of attack, attack, attack?
Yeah, well, you're going to see power arms, and with those guys, you know, it's not a Tom Glavin type situation where they're going to try and nibble a little bit and really mix a ton. At least I don't think they will. That's not what the scouting report dictates. I think it's going to be, here's my major league potential stuff. I'm going to try and cram it down your throat. And the only way to retaliate that as a hitter is to have a good plan, which, again, you know, we've always got all kinds of information. But we also want our kids to realize that their best beats the opponent's best more times than not. So combine those two things and bring it. And, you know, when there's talented kids on the field doing that, that's when you end up with a really good game or, you know, a March Madness type situation where it's a nail biter, it's a back and forth deal, whatever it might be. And with all four teams in the field, that's what majority of these games should be this weekend, as long as these kids, all of them on all four teams, just go out there and play ball.
It's a venue that has a big league feel to it from the clubhouse on down. What is it like to have your players experience this kind of setting?
It's awesome. And, you know, it was cool. They weren't in awe of it last night, but appreciated it and recognized what it is. The playing surface is incredible. No team used the infield because of moisture with the shoddy weather yesterday, but the grounds crew guy was there, and he's a dictator, so it's obvious he takes a lot of pride in his product, and that pride shows. It's an incredible playing surface, and the stadium speaks to itself. So the weather will be a little bit of a hindrance, but I hope there's a good crowd there to see our guys too, maybe some alums, and obviously there'll be some families, including mine, but it'll be nice to add to a full environment this weekend, and the stadium, you know, is the centerpiece of the whole thing.
It is such a cool setting to this degree as well, and that is how much this is centered around and a celebration of Nolan Ryan, one of my all-time favorites. Was he one of yours as well?
Yeah, he was, for so many reasons, work ethic, blue-collar story, the tenure. I mean, the fact that he lasted that long really spoke to a lot of things about the man, not just how well he pitched during that time. But he always was one that I admired. And then we go hit in the cages last night, and there's a huge kind of logo of him up on the wall, and his quote of hopefully I don't get it wrong, but it helps if the hitter thinks you're a little crazy, was the quote. And you know, it happened later in his career when he beat the hell out of Robin Ventura. I think everyone knew not only was he crazy, but he was capable of crazy things. So he didn't have to worry about that from that point on. But probably before that, that was one of his mantras that worked for him.
Well, an outstanding opportunity in front of your ball club. Have a blast. Go get them.
We'll do it. I'll have fun at the beginning, and hopefully we're having fun at the end. We'll see about that. But definitely glad to be a part of this whole thing.
Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. Now time for an SEC notebook brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Get game day ready with Chattanooga Whiskey, available at your favorite Knoxville retail store. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. In men's basketball, Kentucky won at LSU to take a two-game lead with five games left in the regular season. Kentucky's been sparked by Emmanuel Quickley and big man Nick Richards. Kentucky had made just 3 of 34 three-point attempts in the previous three halves, before hitting their first seven threes in the second half in the win at LSU. LSU is now 9-4 in the SEC, having lost four of its last five. LSU, Auburn, and Florida are both two games back of Kentucky at 9-4. The NCAA net rankings aren't doing the SEC any favors. Kentucky and Auburn are the only teams ranked in the top 22 of the only teams in the top 12 of the national polls, but Kentucky has a net of 22 and Auburn 28. No other SEC team is in the top 30. Tennessee comes in at number 64. Now, the Vols travel to Auburn on Saturday. The Tigers have lost two in a row at Missouri and at Georgia. Auburn was 4 of 24 from 3 at Georgia. They've also been without star forward Isaac Okoro, who is doubtful for the Tennessee game with a hamstring injury. Other key SEC games Saturday, Florida-Kentucky, LSU at South Carolina. In women's basketball, at the end of January, the Lady Vols were 7-1 in the SEC and tied for second place, but a five-game losing streak has put their NCAA tournament hopes in jeopardy. The latest loss, 83-75 to number 22 Arkansas, which scored 26 points off 23 Tennessee turnovers. Tennessee has lost four of its last five to ranked opponents and has dropped to number 56 in the NCAA RPI. That puts their NCAA tournament hopes on the bubble. But Tennessee should win its last three games, as Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and Auburn are a combined 6-33 in SEC play. In the polls, South Carolina remains ranked number one, and Mississippi State is 9, Kentucky 14, Texas A&M 16, Arkansas 22. In the SEC Swimming and Diving Championships, the Lady Vols take a lead into Saturday's final day, thanks to terrific performances by Erica Brown and Megan Small. The men for Tennessee are ranked 5th going into the action. In baseball, the 3-0 Vols playing in the Round Rock Classic. Tennessee takes on number one-ranked Texas Tech today, Houston on Saturday, Stanford on Sunday. Tennessee averaging 13.3 runs per game with a team ERA of 125. Vanderbilt is ranked number one in one of the baseball polls. Freshman phenom Jack Leiter threw a five-inning perfect game with 12 strikeouts recently. In softball, the 12th-ranked Lady Vols, after having ventured to Arizona and Mexico, played five games in the South Florida Invitational in Tampa. They lost earlier today to Central Florida. They beat Florida International, so they're now 7-3. They got two more games on Saturday, one on Sunday. Junior outfielder Amanda Ayala is batting .458. Freshman pitcher Kaylee Turner won three games in Mexico. She is now 5-1 on the season. And the SEC Football Media Day, scheduled for July 13 to 16 in Atlanta, Tennessee will go on day three. That's the SEC Report, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink better this basketball season with the award-winning Chattanooga Whiskey 91. Drink Chattanooga Whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. When we come back, we'll hear from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper.
Tell the truth. Isn't this better than hearing Boston's More Than a Feeling for the 10,000th time? 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Lady Vols take on the Vanderbilt Sunday. Here are comments from the head coach, Kelly Harper.
Your perspective, what do you think y'all need to do to feel safe about getting a bid at this point with three games remaining? How many do you need to line up?
Oh, you know, I think for us, it's really, I think we have like 12 days or so. We've got three games, seven or eight practices, and I think we have to maximize every day, whether that's a game, practice, or an off day. And, you know, we've shown some improvement. We have to continue to improve, and we've got to clean up some things. I think we know that.
Where are you guys at right now, confidence-wise, and, you know, maybe all those intangibles that you talked about last night after all these losses?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see them today, see how they are today. But they're a unique group. Their confidence hasn't been visibly rattled, which is it's unique, I think. You know, I think they still come out and they're about the same every day. So I just have to make sure they're in a good spot and try to keep them in a good spot as we go down the stretch. There's still a lot of basketball that can be played. And so, you know, we have to, I've said this, but we've got to continue to build on some positives and continue to work on some areas that we can correct. And, you know, they've got to feel confident that they can do that.
Is it a little puzzling to you that they're hard to read, given everything that's been going on here?
Well, it's not that they're hard to read. It's interesting that it doesn't seem to be an issue, their confidence. But obviously, you know, you get in a tight or close game, and I think that's when it could show itself. So we've got to make sure we're prepared for that ahead of time.
What's the biggest thing you've learned about this group over this five-game stretch?
Well, you know, I've really gotten after them a couple times, and in both times just really challenged them to another level. And I think they responded in some ways, and that's good to see. Also, I think it might be hard to see. We've seen some growth in some areas. Just analyzing some data here recently, and obviously we haven't seen the improvement in our turnover numbers yet. So I think we just have to stay positive and just stay confident that it's going to come. We'll be able to find a way to be a better basketball team next time out.
I know you talk, people in general talk a lot about adversity kind of defining people. What about as people have you learned about this group over the past five games?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we've gone through adversity. We talked about that. And I think, you know, the last two games, we've shown some fight and some toughness down the stretch. Now, we weren't able to pull off a win, but we gave ourselves a chance because of that fight. And just that sense of urgency that we had, like, we just got to extend those minutes a little bit longer.
Kelly, you mentioned the turnovers, and they've been an issue all season. How difficult is it to kind of to break a habit like that at this late in the game?
Well, you know, we've been working on that, obviously. I think it's a challenge for this group, obviously. But it's not anything we're going to let slide. We just keep practicing, keep trying, you know. And I have to remind myself that, you know, we're still young at times with our experience. And obviously, I still remind myself, we got Zay sitting over there. We probably would have helped with our depth, especially in the guard area when you're talking about turnovers. But, you know, it's going to pay off. They're going to improve. They're going to get through it. We want it sooner rather than later. You never want to be talking about it this late in the season, but got to keep fighting.
A lot of your players went through this last year where the team was kind of on the bubble, and hearing about how this team's never missed the tournament. Is that something you, being a former player, is that something you kind of bring up, the program's distinction of having been in the tournament every year? Do they need that reminder, or how do you bring, or is that something that comes
up? I haven't talked to the team about that. I would think they probably don't need that reminder. And sometimes things are out of your control. At this point, we can't do anything about anything that's happened in the past. And all we can control is who we are today and how we're going to play these next 12 days.
Kelly, you were talking on your post-game show last night about, like, in the first half, you were kind of hoping they wished they'd been a little tougher and dealing with some of those things. Do you think there's a correlation between something like that and maybe the turnovers or things like that? Is there a mental toughness component to something like that?
I think so. I think with our turnovers, at times there's a physical component and a mental component both. And I think there are times that we get the ball knocked out of our hands. That's just not being strong and tough with the basketball. But also, you got to have some mental toughness going down the stretch. We've just now cut it to 6 points. We got to get a shot up. We cannot turn the ball over in this moment. And that's a mental toughness and mental awareness and understanding you got to play at another level.
Is that like a focus thing? Maybe they're thinking ahead to what they're going to do down at the other end,
yeah,
and they dribble it off somebody's
floor. You know, I don't know that we're – I still think that's – a maturity thing, to be honest with you. I think there's a maturity there that we've just not quite reached yet. And an experience that, you know, an experienced player knows time and score, understands we have to get a shot right here. And sometimes I don't think we're locked in into that moment and understanding how every single possession throughout the game is critical in understanding those moments. I still think we've got an area of growth there.
There's some things you can still, maybe some tricks you can still try defensively. I know you extended a little bit last night and we're trapping. I mean, are there some things you can do there too, maybe to help or not?
You know, I think there are some things that we can do to help. I do maybe help us play at a different pace or a different tempo, maybe a different alertness. I probably have more things in defensively now with this group than I typically have with the group. You know, sometimes it's because we're grasping, we're trying to find something. There's still a few things out there, and we've just got to decide what this team can handle in terms of more info.
Just the stretch, four ranked teams in the last five games, how do you think it can help prepare you for the rest of the season now?
You know, this was a really tough stretch. We knew it was going to be a tough stretch. And you picked up the schedule, you knew what this was going to be. And, you know, if I had this designed, it would have been earlier in the season so that we could get through it, learn from it, and move on. But it comes at a late time, and it is what it is. It's the SEC. You've got to get through it. And, you know, what we'll do is try to find where did we have growth in those five games? Did we have growth in those five games? What areas do we still need to grow and improve in? And again, just really focus on that.
First game, or three games left in the regular season, that first one coming up Sunday against Vanderbilt. What have you seen from them since you played them in Nashville a few months ago?
Well, I think the first thing is it was a close game. This was not a blowout. This is not a team that's it's going to give it to you. You've got to play well. We have to play well. And we have to be, to do that, we have to be very motivated. And you know, I think it's going to be really important that we go into this game with a great mindset, you know, that we're going to have to work for this. Vanderbilt has, they're young too. They have some youth, and they've got some really talented players that you can see what they can do, but also see a little bit of inconsistency because of their youth, as we see at times with our players. So, you know, I think they are we got a player that's doing a great job defensively and making plays, getting steals. They've got a great score with their freshman. They've got an inside presence and good ball handlers. So I think it's a dangerous team despite what their record says.
Why have y'all been as good as you've been in terms of winning the games that people from the outside would think you're supposed to win? But, I mean, you don't really have any bad, so-called bad losses.
Right. You know, I think for us, we've been relatively consistent most not out. We've not had a lot of games where, you know, we just didn't show up or we didn't do what we were supposed to do. We haven't overlooked a lot of our opponents. You know, may not have played great, but we're good enough. And I think our team is, I respect that, you know, because I think sometimes that's hard to do. You know, sometimes it's easy to show up for the big games and play hard. But, you know, to do it every single night against every opponent, I think it's hard. So, you know, hopefully we can continue that trend.
You talk about growth. Ray has, you take out the LSU game, and she's averaging like 19, 20 points a start this season. And then she had 15 in the fourth quarter. What was that fourth quarter kind of like an encapsulation of who she is as a player?
Well, I think Ray, there are certain situations she's going to thrive in. That fourth quarter was one of them. When she gets to play free, she's playing downhill, being very aggressive, getting herself to the free throw line and getting some easy shots. She knocked down some open jumpers as well. Again, she plays with a lot of energy. And, you know, we were at that moment playing with a sense of urgency that maybe we hadn't played with the whole game. And I think she fits into that really well.
Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper, they take on Vanderbilt Sunday. A couple of notes, Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Jeff Fisher, the former Titans coach, is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Earlier it was announced that Carl Torbush and Tony Delk are going into that Hall of Fame. And Chad Reuter with the NFL Network. Vince, he's got a couple of VFLs that will be, he projects, third-round draft picks.
Yeah, at number 75 overall in the third round. Chad Reuter has Juwan Jennings going to the Indianapolis Colts. And then a few picks later, at number 80, Daryl Taylor to the Las Vegas Raiders. I thought I was going to screw that up, but I remembered it just in time. So those two guys in the middle of the third round. Now, Taylor didn't change from Reuters' previous mock three-round mock draft. Jennings, though, moved up. Previously, he was 86th overall to the Buffalo Bills, and now he's been moved up to 75. Colts have a needed wide receiver. They need to really deepen that core after T.Y. Hilton. So Jennings of the Colts would be a nice fit. Obviously, we'll see what they do at quarterback also, but that's about the standard projection for Jennings and Taylor, I think, is in that third round range.
You got Jalen Hurts in the third round to Pittsburgh. Interesting.
Final pick of the third round, yeah.
Yeah, five quarterbacks in the first round. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Jacob Eason, and Jordan Love. I don't like Eason or Love in the first round.
I agree with you, but it's desperation time for QBs. This is what's going to continue to happen.
When we come back, we'll hear from Tennessee baseball player Landon Gray. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
If it weren't for sports, we'd be forced to play that crap other stations play. Anybody need that? Nobody. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We've talked about Tennessee playing over in Texas in a tournament. There'll be three games in the Round Rock Classic. Our John Wilkerson caught up with Vols catcher Landon Gray.
So in the last calendar year, you made your move to the University of Tennessee, the Southeastern Conference. You dominated the summer with the West Hampton Aviators and then got married. So I would imagine this might be the most momentous calendar year you've just experienced. But what's it like to be back at Tennessee and start your final year in the orange and white?
Yeah, definitely. Had a lot go on this year, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. First year through the SEC was definitely a battle, but I got to grow in many different ways. And also with the team, and also my new wife, which was awesome. It's still so cool to say. But, now we're back here in Texas. She gets to see some family, and I get to see some family as well. But we get to do it together, which is awesome.
There have been a handful of Tennessee volunteers that have been married while they were with the program, but it's been rare. But it's one of the coolest stories. Did it honestly start with you asking the question, would you like to change your Facebook status?
No, not quite. For me, it was a little bit more nerve-wracking than that, but it was a good deal, and it went down, I would say, how I pictured it, but pretty cool deal.
Well, if you would, tell us a little bit about Avery. You guys have been together since you were in high school, right?
Yeah, she's awesome. I guess it's kind of hard to explain. We've been through it all. She went to Baylor, graduated early, and she came with me to Knoxville, which was a huge blessing. And we were actually engaged going to Knoxville. But that was the first time we got to meet people together, which was really cool, and make new friends together. And I got a whole long list of lifelong friends that we have together now, and a couple in the wedding. But no, it was a really cool deal. She's awesome. She supports me through everything. She really just picks me up when I'm down. And I do the same for her. And we're just a really good team.
That's fantastic. Is there a different feel to going into this season now that you are part of a marriage?
Yeah, definitely. If anything, I'm definitely more relaxed. I get to go home and relax every night with her and know I got somebody by my side. But at the same time, I want to say, it helps me kind of blend the team culture together a little bit as more of a family, because away from the field, she's my family. And then on the field, my family's the baseball team and what they bring. And it's really cool to tie that together and also keep it separate. But it's a cool deal.
What does it feel like getting into your second year with the University of Tennessee, second year in the Southeastern Conference, and how different does this year feel compared to this time last year?
Yeah, I think I just I have a little bit more knowledge of what the conference brings and what college baseball brings, and I'm still learning, but I feel like I can help these young guys out a little bit on what to expect, game days, travel days, but also there's a whole group of guys that are also still teaching me how to do things, and I'm open for it, and I just think that's a cool deal to have these older guys kind of teach these younger guys and kind of bring on the legacy, you know.
What were some of the biggest adjustments as you transitioned from Weatherford to the University of Tennessee and the Southeastern Conference?
I would just say learning how to deal with failure a little bit, or a little bit of adversity, I guess I'd call it. And that goes again to just having a core group of guys and a core support staff behind you. And that's the entire baseball team, my wife, my family. But I would just say learning how to deal with that adversity and making it, turning it into a positive thing rather than a negative thing.
Had you paid much attention to the Southeastern Conference as in your first years at junior college?
Not a whole lot, honestly. There's a lot of Big 12 teams in Texas. So a lot of the focus has always been on like the Big 12, and the SEC is the real deal, and it's a blast to play in, and to be a part of this program is amazing, and I'm really just looking forward to the season also.
What was it like to get a taste of some of those big venues like Fayetteville, just to name one, as you started to make your circuit through the SEC?
It was pretty surreal. Lots of fans. But it's crazy, like when you're playing, you don't really hear the fans a whole lot until, it's kind of hard to explain, but you don't hear the fans a whole lot until you really stop and, I guess, soak it in. But, you know, during the game, you're kind of focused and trying to block out everything. So it was really cool to look around every now and then. But other than that, I mean, it was a blast to play there, and hopefully we can make a run this year.
You were pretty instrumental when it came to helping handle the staff. You and Connor Pavloni did a really nice job as the tandem of catchers for the University of Tennessee. What was it like to work with last year's pitching staff as well as share the time that you did with Pav?
It's been good. And we stay with each other like on road trips and whatnot. And we really do get to talk about the pitching staff and different hitters, different teams. But it's been nice. I would say this year our relationship as a friendship has grown more since last year ended and whatnot. And it's been really cool to kind of get to know him a little bit more and more of the details of his life and how he lives his life. And that's pretty cool. And that just applies to the confidence and support that we'll have going into, you know, every game that we play. So.
What was it like to join the program at a point in time where you were a part of Tennessee making its first return to the NCAA tournament in 14 years and to finish your season in the regional final in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, I think anybody that's a part of that team, you're not really going to be able to take that away from them. There's going to be that 2019 up on the wall forever. And that being said, like I think that just sets the standards now. I mean, it brings in a new culture of guys that expect to win, expect to definitely get back to the regional and host the regional and continue that improvement. But it was something that I'll never forget, and I'm really looking forward to it again.
You then got to spend the summer on Long Island with the West Hampton Aviators, won a championship and also hit a boatload of home runs. What was the summer experience like?
Yeah, it was a blast. I'd never really thought of going to play in New York, and it was fun. It was a blast, and had an awesome host family. Got to live with a guy from Florida Southern, a really good guy. But that just kind of made it a little bit more relaxing, I guess. And hit well and saw the ball well, but really just enjoyed my time there.
That is Tennessee catcher Landon Gray and Tennessee baseball playing in Texas. A lot going on this weekend. The Lady Vols playing Vanderbilt, the Vols in basketball playing Auburn, SEC swimming and diving championships in Auburn, Tennessee softball in Florida. A lot going on, Vince, this weekend.
A lot to recap on Monday.
Yeah, we'll certainly do that. And, of course, it was announced earlier officially, Jimmy Brumbaugh joining the Tennessee staff, co-defensive coordinator, as well as defensive line coach. Shelton Felton will be coaching the outside linebackers at Tennessee. So officially made today. Vince, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend to
Thanks,
you.
Jimmy. You and John, the band back together on Monday, and that's been rare the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's like December. We're never seeing each other, but we will. We want to thank everybody that listened and for calling. Have a great weekend. This has been Sports Talk.